Hey, welcome to another Sunday morning at Ignite Youth. It's great to have you with us again. Before we get going with our new session today, let me take a quick rewind. In the last two sessions, do you remember session one? We explored all about making Jesus Lord. We learned at least, I think, two things in that incredible Sunday morning. That Lordship is letting Jesus be the boss of me. So yes, Jesus is the boss of me. We also learned about putting Jesus at the center of our lives. So Lordship is not only making Jesus Lord, but it's allowing him to be the very center of our lives. And then in week two, we looked at having daily devotions. If you remember, we learned something about getting up each morning, getting out of bed, finding a special place where we can meet with God, taking some time, maybe 10, 15 minutes in the beginning, being prepared, having a Bible, a pen, a notebook, or journal. And then following the plan and using the soap. Huh? Soap? Yeah. Remember how we spoke about take your pen, your journal, and begin to find a scripture that you're reading. Read it through a couple times. Look for a verse or phrase that you connect with. Then make some observations about it. What does it mean? Write it out in your own words. And then application. How does it relate to my life? And there we write down any thoughts and ideas that we sense God giving us. And finally, we write out a prayer, asking God to help us grow in the truth. And so that was session one and two. And today we're launching out into a brand new session, that of practicing God's presence. And we're going to see how that it's possible to bring God into our lives, not just confine him to those times of daily devotions. But before we step out any further, I want you to turn to someone next to you and answer this question one at a time. When last did you have an overwhelming sense that God was with you? It was that time when you just felt, you know what, there's God, his very presence, majesty, there's something eternal here. And just spend a few moments thinking about that. I'm sure there isn't a single person here who wasn't able to think of some time in which you experienced God with you. Well, come with me now to Psalm 139, and the psalmist answers that question because he says, "Where can I flee from your presence?" And he goes and explores every spatial dimension and concludes with this phrase, "You are there." He says, if I go up to the heavens and if I make my bed down in the depths, so if I go up or down as far as I want in either direction, you are there. If I settle on the far side of the sea, so if I go east or west, God is going to be with me, north or south, east or west on the planet Earth. And if I say that the darkness will hide me, even the darkness cannot hide me because light and dark do not separate me from God. I learned from a professor in a Bible college many years ago that all of God is everywhere present all of the time. All of God. God doesn't divide himself up. He doesn't come and go. He doesn't put little bits of himself on us. It's like mini me kind of God with me and a mini God with you. It's the full presence of God in our lives. Over 52 times in the Old Testament, we read of God's promise to people that he would be with them. Here's Psalm 91 verse 15. I will be with you when you are in trouble. Paul in the New Testament says that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes knocking, as we read in Revelation 3:20, knocking on the door, and if we open up, he'll come in and live with us and make his dwelling with us. Then we learn in 2 Corinthians 6:16 that we together, it's plural here, we are the temple of the living God. I suspect you might know this poem. It's called Footprints, and it's about a man looking back on his life and seeing sets of footprints, two sets and sometimes only one, and thinking that God has left him. Listen to this modern day retelling of the story and you'll get something of the force of how God is with us all the time. It's those times that we think that God doesn't care, that we think he's not with us, he's far away, that God actually is with us. In the storm, in those tough times, in the losing of a friend, in the breakdown of a relationship, in the losing of a family or a family member, God is with us. God leaves signs everywhere. He shows us that he's with us. And it begs the question then, doesn't it? Why? Why don't we feel God's presence? What is it that causes us to not experience God? Well, I think a couple things. I think it's because God is invisible. When I see someone physically, I'm reminded about them and like high-five them and it's incredible and we experience each other.
One author wrote that he envies the Catholic priests because they carry a crucifix around their neck the whole time. And he says, like the priests, he needs a visible reminder that God is with him. Because don't you forget sometimes? Don't you like get almost through a school day and you realize like, oh yeah, I'm one of those Ignite Youth guys and I haven't even thought about the leader of Ignite Youth. Not IMTA, God. And what happened? How? And because God is invisible. It's also that we get too busy running the rat race or competing in the marketplace or trying, you know, to do so much work and stuff and the pile of assignments on us trying to make it through this term at school. And after all, this is grade 11 or 12, you know, it's the hardest years. And how do we navigate that part of our lives? And also because we live by our senses. We live by the sense of touch. We live by the sense of taste and smell. And we don't always smell God. I mean, what does he smell like? We don't use the senses to draw us closer to God. And maybe the question for us is, if we look back over an average week, when do we feel God's presence? I'm going to suggest a couple times. At iGrow on Sunday mornings. If you don't feel God here on Sunday mornings, then either you comatose, or you just really in a place where I don't want to deal with God right now, or I'm not going to enter in, or I'm more concerned about other people, or there's a great opportunity here. I think saying grace at meals is another time that we experience God, maybe. Those of us who, every time we have a meal at home, we just bow our heads, we hold hands maybe, and someone prays, thank you for the food we eat. And then Drew's thinking about his next line. Thank you for the birds that sing. And about 20 minutes later, when our food is cold, Drew finishes, for everything, amen. But there's something special about that moment that even though our food's cold, we know like we just paused in the middle of a day and we've turned our hearts towards God. What about our daily devotions? Maybe now that we're getting into this discipline of devotions, maybe there's some time spent there when we're aware of God. And to be honest, in some tough times, when times are tough financially, I think we experience more of God than when times are lots of money. I don't know about you, but when I'm out spending pocket money, maybe I think less about God than when I'm, God, help me make it through or something. And so maybe if we had to do a bit of a mathematical equation here, where we think about the number of minutes in an average week that we feel God, I'm going to be generous and say that for 90 minutes on a Sunday morning we experience God. Saying grace 7 times 1 times 3 is 21 minutes maybe in the week, unless Drew's saying it, then that doubles up to 42 minutes because he's really slow. Then there's daily devotions. Let's be generous and say that for 6 days of the week I'm doing it, and 10 minutes a day, it's 60 minutes. And then maybe I have one tough time a week, because I mean, maybe 2 10-minute tough times. That gives me another 20 minutes. So 191 minutes. That's a lot of minutes, don't you think? That's a lot to experience God. Until I go to the other side and I look at the number of minutes in a week, 10,080 minutes, less the sleep time. Maybe even there through dreams and visions I can experience God, but let's say I don't in that 3,500 minutes. Less my God minutes, which is on a good day or good week, 191, that leaves me with a total of 6,500 potential minutes to experience God. 3% of my week, if I'm being generous, is spent in awareness of God's presence. I'd like to suggest that 3% in a math exam is not a possible grade. I mean, you need to improve a bit. I'm thinking extra math lessons, new textbooks, brain download, brain implants, a whole lot of stuff. Maybe repeating a grade or two, okay? I think there's a huge potential to think about all the other minutes and what happens in those minutes. And I want to tell you this morning that you can learn how to practice God's presence. I mean, if when you look at IMTA this morning playing his guitar, you just know that a fair bit of practice went into doing that. I don't know if you watched a couple times Mtala on the bass. He was slapping that baby and he was plucking at it. He was like all over the place. I don't think once did he actually look at where his fingers went on the fretboard. Did you notice that? He's done it so much that he knows the difference between a G and a G sharp or A flat and an A. His fingers just go there. Do you think he's played before? But you can practice. How can you? Well, we came up with this phrase this week that we want to use as we were talking as staff, but it's the idea of making touch points or creating touch points in your day. Maybe putting up a Bible verse on your mirror. Maybe a God is with me, you know, cell phone welcome message. It could be an alarm that sounds on the hour. It could be something in your pocket, like, and not something sharp preferably, because if you fall, you're going to be in trouble. But maybe like a pen. I mean, every time you feel it, you're like, what's that doing there? Or, you know, wear your shoes on back to front. And we don't want to tell you what to do. But that's the idea of reminders throughout our day that help us think about things that we're going to do. This young girl, Valencia, put together this video clip of a day in her life. So that's the day in the life of Valencia. But what about a day in the life of you? Maybe there's some of those key markers and key moments where you can create touch points between you and God. And so what we're going to do here for like about 3 minutes is this 1/5 of the audience is going to think about, what can I do in that time that horrible alarm goes off, that desperately horrible, irritating Monday morning, 6 a.m. or whatever time you get up, when that goes off, what could I do in that time when I'm getting ready to leave the house? Okay, and we're thinking about an average school day, right? So you guys over here, I want you to swing your chairs around. Then the next group of you is going to think about when we're traveling to and from school. Okay, what can I do in that journey to create a touch point with God? The third group over here, a little bit further across, is going to be look at, can I do anything during school, or is God left at the school gate? I think there's a God detector at most of our high schools that God can't go through. It's like, guns and weapons and guards, put them in the trash pan. Or maybe God could slip through because, hey, don't forget he's invisible. Cool. He can go into school with you, right? And then there's a fourth area over there in the afternoon. Don't get too freaked out by the word homework, but whatever that afternoon looks like, after school activities in the afternoon. And then finally, in the evening, when you're doing whatever. Okay? And then we'll have a report back, and each group will get to mention one or two things for that part of the day, and we're going to do this in lightning. You've got 3 or 4 minutes, right? Right, here we go. Okay, give us your attention. Group number one has got two incredible ideas for us. Who's their champion? Who's going to be speaking? Here we go. Come quick, guys.
You can do it.
Two ideas.
I only have one.
One idea is good.
It's two.
Two? We thank God that he helped us survive through the night.
Okay.
We pray before we go to school. When we get up. Yes.
Okay, next group. Did you guys want to add anything? Same group. Christian music on alarm. Awesome. Cool. The group that's going to help us with traveling.
Listening to Christian music on the way to school. And having a cross-shaped air freshener. Yeah, the ones that you hang on your mirror. Yeah.
Cool. And if you've got a mother like Keegan's, you pray that she won't do another 180 again, when she did a 180 on the road on the way to school and spun the car. So that's what Keegan always prays. The next one, group three. Okay, let's go on to that. During school, if you, Ayanda.
Okay, you could join a Christian group. Or you can just take some time in one of your first or second break and just walk alone and talk to God there on the field.
Awesome. Let's go to group number 4 during the afternoon. Shiam.
I go to sleep. Number 1, write a Bible verse on your shoes.
Listen up. Write a Bible verse on your shoes.
Write Bible verses in your study book. No, I don't chat on Excel. Have a poster of God in your room.
A what?
A poster. And have rosaries around you.
What? Rosaries. So we're going to have some prayer helps. Okay, you can have prayer beads. Some people call that a rosary. You can do something that will bring God into that. What about the last group? At night.
Okay, put your Bible on your pillow so that you either read the Bible or you move it.
Ooh, what? Say that again.
Bible on your pillow.
You either have to or move it.
Can I ask why?
Wow, I think you might read it a couple of times. Yeah,
A Bible verse scripture on your light switch. And you write the word play, and you cut it out, and you stick it on your radio. Instead of pressing play, you press pray. Yeah.
But the CD is
awesome. We took about 5 minutes and came up with some most amazing ideas. Bringing God into our day. Now, here's my guarantee, money back guarantee, that if you can be aware of God's presence will change you. Here's what it will do. It will develop friendship. Andrew, you can kill just the front bank of lights. Cool. Here's a scripture in Psalm 63 that says, "You have been my help. In the shadow of your wings, I sing joyfully. My soul clings to you. Your right hand supports me." There's a sense of connectedness, of intimacy with Father. The more I'm aware of my family, the more I act towards them, and the more I enjoy them, and the more we hang out together. And so there's this idea of friendship. Secondly, there would be protection as a result of knowing God's with you. Isaiah says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. For I am your God. I will strengthen you, help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You can even walk down a most dangerous alleyway, and knowing God is with you, you can know that His protection will be with you. And thirdly, there can be this idea of transformation. When God is personally present, says 2 Corinthians 3, our lives gradually become brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. People have to wear dark glasses when they look at us because our lives are brighter. We become more like Jesus. The rough edges, the horrible edges. I don't know if you, but there's a couple edges in my life that still need to be knocked off and filed and brought into shape. And so there's going to be friendship. There's going to be protection and transformation happening as I practice God's presence. Are you up for it? Are you up for bringing God into your day, creating touch points? Challenge you to do it this week. We challenge you to take your grow book and work through grow session number 3. How many of you did last week's one? How many of you did last week's grow session? Couple more. I'm seeing some hands. I see that hand. Cool. If the rest of you can make sure you've got your grow book, that you do that in the coming week. Let me pray. Let me pray as we close. Okay, I'm going to shy a prayer. Just watch out. Lord, we thank you so much for what you've taught us again today. Thank you for this valuable time of minutes in your presence. We want to stretch out the amount of time that we are aware of you this week so we can be close to you, so that we can know your presence is with us, that you protect us, and so that we can be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Help us to be faithful, to think about these things, to find little ways. Thank you for these awesome ideas that you've given us this morning through these small groups. You've been here at work. We honor you, your work in our lives. We love you. We pray that you would watch over us, that we would journey with you this week and create many, many touch points, turnings towards you, embracing you, bringing you into our lives, and living in a way that would touch other people. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in our midst this morning. We pray this in the awesome name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Enjoy your week. Have an awesome time with God.